All right, so we're going to continue on today. This was like 2 weeks ago. If you weren't here last week, you literally did not miss anything because we were confused about the whole tech booth situation.
It's okay, so, we're confused when we were in there.
Yeah. even like, I'm glad that your mom wrote down the directions because I was like, even when going based off of that, it's like, surely there's going to be something that doesn't get communicated. And clearly, I think there was. So until we get that whole situation figured out, we're just going to continue on. And then I think today we'll probably get a little bit into context. But kind of picking up where we left off, our last question, again, thinking about questions to ask ourselves, whether it be mostly for how we live our lives as Christians. We talked about, would it be seeking the kingdom of God first based off of Matthew 6:33? Does anybody remember kind of what we said about that? Or maybe what does it look like to seek the kingdom of God first in our lives? Mary?
What are these questions for again?
These are questions that, like how we live our life before... I don't know. If we're going to go see a movie, maybe that has questionable content. If we're going to be at maybe an event where there might be some questionable activity, sort of just questions, I guess, for daily living. Just kind of questions that kind of help us, help guide us in our Christian walk. Yeah. So what would be an example of seeking the kingdom of God first? Maybe making sure that we're attending services regularly. If, you know, if there's a conflict of interest, of course, you know, if there's work or something going on, but making sure that we're making it a point to be here when the doors are open, to learn more about God. But also seeking the kingdom of God, seeking... ways to help grow the kingdom, opportunities, maybe discussions with some people, maybe they open up to us and confide in us, like that girl did with you at camp. Even though we might not be, you know, specialized to deal with certain things, you know, how can we tell them more about God? How can we maybe try and help them with a situation that they're dealing with, whether it be a coworker. Or somebody that we know, maybe a distant friend on Facebook, maybe they've posted on Facebook a couple times about struggles or things that that's going on in their life. How can we, especially if they're not a Christian, how can we tell them about God? How can we tell them about Christ and what He has done? Any other thoughts? Maybe other examples that come to mind? No. All right. Our next question. Would God be pleased if He saw it? Revelation 20 and verse 12. Somebody read that for us, please.
And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books.
All right, so they were judged according to what?
They had done.
To the works they had done. So, again, would God be pleased if He saw the things that we were doing? If He saw how we were spending our free time? How we were... how we were living our lives? Would God be pleased with us? Are there ways that we could make some changes in our life to be more pleasing to God? Thoughts there?
I mean, He does see it.
Yeah, He sees everything, right?
Yeah.
So even if even if we're kind of, if we took a road trip vacation, just me by myself, and I went off to the Grand Canyon or something, I went to the middle of the Sahara Desert where I was completely alone, not around anybody, God would still see and know the things that I was doing, right? Again, making sure that whatever we do, God is always aware of it. God sees everything, even if we think that we might be alone, that we might be away from Him. I was thinking about Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned, God asked the question, you know, where are you? And Adam said that they were hiding. Well, God, of course, being all-knowing, He knew where they were. He knew what they had done, except in sin. And He still asked the question, you know, who told you that you were naked? He had that knowledge, but He still invited Adam to, you know, He invited him to a conversation to talk about the things that had happened. So would it be pleasing to God? Any other thoughts?
I think this question just goes back with the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if we're not living appropriately, then like we're not seeing the kingdom first, then He's not going to be
right. And so what are some ways that maybe we can kind of remind ourselves to try and be on the lookout to seek the kingdom first? What might be some ways that we can do that? Because I'll admit, it's really easy to kind of just get caught up in the ebb and flow of daily life, to kind of maybe not really think about it, you know. You sort of just kind of go into cruise control. You wake up, you do your daily morning routine, you kind of go out there. But what are some ways that we can kind of remind ourselves about seeking the kingdom?
I think routinely reading your Bible just keeps those ideals on your mind throughout the day.
Absolutely, yeah, routinely. And it doesn't even have to be, it could be like three verses, and you like really, if you really meditate on those verses, maybe write them down, journal them, find a way that you can pray those verses. Because it doesn't, again, we're not just Bible reading just to read. It's not a competition of, oh yeah, I read the Bible in a year and I completed it. But it's like, how much are you thinking about what you've read? How much are you thinking about and meditating about God's Word? But yeah, to take some of those verses, I think, a great study, you know, break down the sections of the Sermon on the Mount and then practice them, think about them. Throughout the day, throughout the week, you know, how can I implement this into my life? So, yeah, routinely taking, setting aside time in the morning and the evening before you get your day started would be a great time to really think about and just kind of think about those passages that you read. What else?
And surrounding yourself with the right people.
Surrounding yourself with the right people, people who are going to lift you up and encourage you to make those right choices. Absolutely.
Well, I think also if you struggle to remember to pray or read your Bible, like, we always have our phones on us to always set an alarm to remind yourself in a specific time.
Yeah.
Or writing verses down that stick out to you and kind of putting it where you know you'll see it. Mm-hmm. Like on a sticky note or you can write down the mirror or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Going out of your way to set reminders and to set those things aside to, you know, set an alarm at, you know, 8 o'clock. So you're about to walk out the door. Well, no, not about to walk out the door. But, you know, set a reminder, you know, hey, I've got some downtime, you know, within this period of time. Hey, this would be a good time to, you know, bring my Bible or open it up on an app on my phone. And to get some Bible study and to meditate. Great stuff. Anything else?
So, like, can God ever be, like, just indifferent with what we're doing? You know?
Ooh. Could God be indifferent to what we're doing? Like what?
I don't know. Like, I would assume, like, just this question is, like, talking about the important things of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if a verse says do all things and according to him, you know, like, is there anything that's just, he really couldn't care about what we're doing?
Like, is God pleased if I brush my teeth this morning?
I'm not, like, in that, like, low, you know, like,
kind of like in, like, a downtime kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm just sitting down and watching a show that's, you know, all right, is it seeking the kingdom of God first?
I don't think he really expects us to. He did give us
we
should do everything, like,
so, like, I mean, I feel like he knows we're also human.
Does this lead to the next question?
No, I'm writing it down for myself. That's a good question. I haven't really thought of that before. Could God be indifferent? What did he say? Like, to my actions?
Yeah.
Just to your, like, normal daily activities. Something like that.
That's good, right?
Could God be indifferent to my actions? I mean, I'll fully admit, I'll have to think about this some more.
Like, is it really possible to do everything pleasing to God? Like, I don't... I feel like that's just, like, a very high standard.
Yeah.
Pleasing is something where it takes not just that he's not disappointed, but that you've done something worthy of his pleasure. Like, that's... That takes you up a step, and you can't do that all the time. Like, you're human.
Yeah, it's not something you just pass.
I mean, you know, I think in a general realm, you know, obviously there are activities. Jesus and his disciples, they took time to rest. I think one of those accounts was definitely after they went out. I think it was like the 70 went out, and they came back, and because they'd been out preaching and teaching, they'd been performing miracles. Jesus took time to rest. And so, you know, that's definitely something that I've thought about. You know, is God pleased if I just take a whole day and sit down and, like, binge watch a season of, like, a show on Netflix? Are there better ways that maybe I could rest and recharge? Like you said, it is a high standard. We kind of talked about that several months back in the Wednesday night class about God being righteous. I think that's a good question. I'd have to think about that some more. Addie?
Well, God rested on the seventh day. He doesn't need rest, you know.
Right.
I figured that'd be more like a symbol. We rest. He rested. I think it'd be okay to have rest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying, yeah, don't take rest. I'm using those examples to say, yeah, we should take rest. We should have those times.
Well, it's like I think about, is it crazy? But I think about, like, the whole WWJD, you know,
yeah.
Like, what would Jesus do? And my kids all the time, like, I get, I don't know, you use the example of Netflix or whatever. Like, I know in the hustle and bustle of, like, daily life, and we just kind of want to sit and unwind. But there's times where I'm sitting there and I'm watching something and I'm like, this is okay.
Yeah.
And I've always told the kids, like, if you have that, is this right in your head? It probably isn't.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably a reason why.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if it starts to work on your conscience, like, I could probably be doing something better.
Yeah.
Then I would definitely try and find that better thing. Like I said.
Even if it's just like, there's nothing wrong with relaxing or whatever, but even if it's just like, okay, I'm going to get up and go for a walk, or, you know,
yeah,
to the gym, or whatever, you know, and not just sit here and waste my time watching this that may or may not be pleasing to God.
Right. Especially, I think, if, there are services like VidAngel or ClearPlay where they'll kind of take out a lot of, like, content. Mm-hmm. So if it's, you know, if you're watching a show that has a lot of that content in it and you want to filter that out, there are ways to do that. But, I mean, I definitely think we've kind of all hit on it. Absolutely, you know, there are times to take for rest. Jesus and the disciples did that. We need to do that, because if we don't rest, if we're just constantly go, 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 eventually we're going to get to the point where we get burnt out. And then it's going to be harder for us to help others, to help serve others, or to help even kind of be of service to ourselves if we get to that point where we're just kind of, you know, if we're just burnt out, you know, then we're not going to really be good to anybody if we don't take time to rest. So
I also feel like that's a hard question to answer, because, like, at some point we're going to be like, oh, well, we're doing enough, when in actuality, like, we should never think we're doing enough.
Right.
So it's like it can go both ways, I guess.
Yeah. I think, I'd have to think about that more, because thinking about who God is, and obviously he has a high standard of holiness and righteousness. I'd have to think about it more. But, no, yeah, way to go, Trent. I mean, that's a really good question. Are there things that God is indifferent to? I mean, to an extent. I mean, like the example of brushing teeth in the morning. I mean, is God? I think God is concerned. Are you working on your relationship with me? Is something that you're doing going to take you away from me? Is it something that's sinful? God cares about. I think God cares about things more than we might think, but. But I don't think it's like, this day I was just completely lazy and did nothing. And so God's like, oh, up there, you know. He's like patient and long-suffering. So are we being more active in our Christianity, or being more active? I think it's one of those things of the different principles you have to think about and consider. Again, Christianity isn't a tightrope. It's not, oh, you sinned and you've fallen out of God's grace once, or, you know, but... You know, are you actively working on it? Are you continuing to get back up and to keep walking, being in the light? Obviously, asking for forgiveness whenever you do sin, but yeah, I think about this because I think it's Luke 9:23 was the clue that I gave. That's always something that I think about from time to time, whenever Jesus tells us to pick up our cross daily and to follow him, thinking about what it means to be a disciple of God and trying to find the balance of, you know, I think Freddie mentioned it, and, you know, several times, it's trying to find like a balance of, okay, you know, if you're really passionate about soccer, for example, you're really passionate about whatever sport you're engaged in, you know, do you have to give that up? Is it a bad thing and follow Christ? I think it's trying to find a balance of, you know, obviously if you make, you know, you're a soccer coach. I mean, that's part of the way you make your living. You work and teach, and also following Christ at the same time, you know. I mean, just thinking about the importance of discipleship and following, and trying to balance that with, you know, our work life and our family life and our schedules and how they can get hectic. It's something to think about. I'd have to think about it more. But are we at a point that we would be willing to deny everything in our life to follow Christ if the opportunity called for it? And I think that kind of goes back to kind of 1 John talking about love of the world. I enjoy movies. Is there, am I going to get more pleasure out of watching movies somehow. I don't think about these things more. We're just going to keep going on. How much time do I have left? Like 2 minutes. Okay. Good question. I appreciate that. I appreciate everybody's responses. Any other thoughts, Marilyn? I feel like you're probably sitting on something big you want to throw at me.
You want to know what my question was as soon as you wrote that on the board?
What?
It was Chris' question.
What, could God be indifferent to action? What? Yeah.
She's just saying
I went to D.C. all the
time.
She's
just saying that
because
she wants to be like
me. That's what I was going to tell you after class. I was really proud of you.
But anybody else? I mean, kind of. I mean, again, it's, you know, thinking about having a balance to these things. Is there, again, is there something that I would rather, is there a hobby or something that I'm holding on to more than I am following Christ? I mean, even if we fully were like out on the streets every single day evangelizing, had our Bible, we're trying to like sit down and study with people like day in and day out, it's like there's still people you're not going to reach. That's, you know, we're limited in our time and in our space. But again, having that balance and making sure that we're still following Christ. Anybody else? Any other thoughts?
Maybe that's what it means by everything you do is for God. Like, you're talking about like going on the streets and doing this, well, you can still play a sport and do whatever before you game. It's still, that's still free time.
Yeah.
I had one of my girls in, like, when we were in high school, we were talking about when we play soccer. She was like, well, our coach asked, like, why do you play soccer? And she was like, well, God gave me this talent for a reason, and if I didn't do it, how do I know that he didn't give me this talent so I could reach these girls that I played with and so they could see God through me? So if I stopped doing that and just, like, try to focus on God, or if I do something he didn't want to, because, like, he obviously gave me that talent for a reason.
Absolutely, and I think it takes, you know, everybody, again, everybody's built different. Strengths for me might be weaknesses for you. Strengths for you might be weaknesses for me, and how we all have different talents, different abilities. Are we making sure that we are setting aside, you know, time to make it known that we're Christians, that, you know, we're using this ability to glorify God, and to make those connections? Because Emma, you're going to reach people with the gospel that I'll never be able to reach. Addy, you'll be able to reach people with the gospel I'll never be able to reach. Brooke, you'll be able to reach people that I'll never be able to reach. But hopefully, by considering these things, by putting Christ first in our life, they'll be able to see that we're different, and that, you know, hopefully it'll inspire a conversation, you know. Why are you the way that you are? Well, I'm a Christian. I follow Christ. I do these things. Good stuff. Y'all have the last word. As
well, I think
Brother Bradford would say.
I think Tyler said it. Some girl was talking to him and was like, her friend mentioned, like, asked her if she followed Christ, and she was like, not offended, but like she just was hurt that her friend didn't already know that about her by the way she was living.
Absolutely.
And I don't think it's necessarily everything we have to do is like gung-ho to God, but if we're just being a decent, respectful person and doing good things and nice things, and people should see that light through us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it all pulls back to how like you carry and present yourself, because that's the number one thing people see about you. So if you immediately carry yourself as a Christian, then they see that through your actions.
Absolutely.
And it's all judged according to the device.
I remember when I started my student teaching, and I went to Free Hardeman, but we went into the, you know, the area schools and did our student teaching places there. And, you know, I don't know, I was young, and I knew I was going to be a teacher, obviously, but that was also like, you know, I knew I was going to teach at a public school, and now it was sort of a struggle of how am I going to, you know, be this Christian and the example without like preaching in the classroom, you know, which I was supposed to do that. It's frowned upon. But I remember, and I don't, this principal probably never even thought another second about that conversation, but here, a lot of years later, I still think about it all the time. He had me and the other girl who was student teaching in his office one day, and he was just talking to us about our experience. And he said, I also want you to know that I know that you're coming from Free Hardeman, and I know that you are, that you're Christians. And he said, I need for you to know, coming from a principal standpoint, that you obviously can't stand up in front of the classroom and preach or whatever. He said, but if a student sees that in you and seeks you out and wants more information and wants to have conversations with you about it, he said, sit down and talk to them. They've opened the door. You are absolutely able to do that at that point. And I remember, like, I was like,
that's awesome.
I had never thought of that before. I thought it was sort of like a, I'm going to be a teacher in public school, it's all limits, you know?
Right, yeah.
But all this many years later, I still think about that. And I'm so glad that he had that conversation with us, because it was sort of like a thing. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think sometimes we read the word and we set unrealistic expectations on ourselves. And it's just a burden to us, just because we're never going to be perfect in God's eyes. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want us to be perfect. He wants us to constantly strive to be better and to be that light to people no matter what field we're in.
Yeah. And like I said, and that's kind of what I tried to hit. I don't know if it... That's what I was trying to say in the lesson on self-control on Thursday. I don't know if it came across in the high school class, but I remember saying it more in the younger kids class was, you know, self-control, it can be hard, but if you practice and work on it day by day, like 5, 10, 20 years from now, you're going to be reaping the fruit of that time that you take, and you're going to be better about it than you are today. If, well, self-control is just so hard and I can't do it, but it's like if you never work on it, yeah, then it's always going to continue and be difficult. But, and that's kind of how Christianity is. You work on it day by day. And again, I always say Christianity, you have to play the long game. It's not about, you know, try and conquer and tackle each and every day. But, you know, like you said, we could set unrealistic expectations on ourselves. But if we would just kind of set smaller goals and work on some of those big challenges, then, you know, we can be victorious. And like you said, be better today than you were yesterday.
Also,
you didn't say that. But
for everybody else, because, like, a lot of people, like she was saying earlier, you have to do something, like, that's above and beyond, like, your daily thing to, like, seek God, which I believe is absolutely true. But, like, the world has, like, put it in our eyes, like, oh, you have to go across the world. It's like go on a mission trip to teach people about God, which I think it's amazing that people do that, but like I do be broke. So I can't,
yeah.
I can't go do that. So it's like I think God knows like each and every one of us is different.
Yeah.
So like the way we seek him and the way we help people find God is like different in our own way.
Yeah.
And like he judges us based solely off how we do it, not comparing us as a whole.
Right.
Which that may not make sense, but like mine is different than what Trent's would be. Like you said,
yeah.
Like, you can reach people different than how I can reach people. Like,
yeah. So. Cool. Awesome. Well,
be Berean.
Yeah, continuing searching the scriptures daily. All right, y'all get out of here.